You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel and chapter 22 for a moment. And in our study of the book of Jeremiah, we are reminded of the day in which we live, when the darkness tends to get darker, and the looking for things to work out better and better are not always to be seen easily at all. So now, here we are in the presence of God, who is very conscious of Jeremiah taking place, what we're going to read about right now, because there is no time element for God. So time is for us. There's past, present, and future. To God, there is no past or present, future. It's all present. Now, therefore, in looking, just Ezekiel, remember, is at this time in Babylon, taken captive in 597 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar. And he's busy and dealing with the people that are there. And he's letting it be known the reason all these things are happening. Jeremiah is over in Jerusalem. And so Ezekiel puts the cards on the table, as it were, and makes it clear that Jeremiah is all alone. All alone. You'd have to think of yourself, you're the only one that would stand, you're standing to represent something, and you're the only one in the city. You're the only one in the state. There is no one else. There's no one else there with you. No one at all. There is not a record of any other one there. It doesn't mean there weren't other believers there, but we do not know them. Now, Ezekiel chapter 23, therefore, the totality of this, verse 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Sliding down. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and profane made common mine holy things. Verse 27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. And verse 28, and her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression, etc., etc. Now, there's no one left. That covers everything. Everyone covers them all. And now, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 21, we'll see. And in the process, Jeremiah, remember now, the movement starting at verse 20 and onward, Jeremiah has finished the ministry that God is going to, his ministry for all those years to the people, and in the process in writing, and now he's going to tell us about all the results. Zedekiah is going to be the last king, we read about last time in chapter 21. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to take Israel captive for the third time and destroy the city and the temple, level it like a bulldozer. So in the process, we are to understand that Zedekiah he tries to get some help, but remember we shared for the wrong reasons. In all of that, and sliding, if I can, chapter 21, verse 8. In 21 and verse 8, after dealing with the king, he deals with the people in his statements to the people. Remember, Zedekiah wants to know how is it going to come out, and chapter 21, verse 8, Jeremiah speaks to the people, for the people. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, but he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans, surrenders, remember we share together, unconditional surrender to the Chaldeans of that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey, a spoil. In other words, he's going to be able to come like an enemy that took captives, and the captive still lives. So the people that do this are going to survive. They have to surrender. Now, and remember, all the priests and prophets and everybody else, they're all busy supporting. The Egyptians are down there below them. Maybe the Egyptians will help us against against Nebuchadnezzar. That didn't happen. And in the process, they are all going to get, they're hoping that things aren't really going to be as bad as they seem, as it has been predicted by Jeremiah. So now, in the process, Jeremiah makes it clear to them in the days of Zedekiah, makes clear to them, here they are, they're only a year and a half approximately from Nebuchadnezzar. This is in 588 B.C. 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. So we're only a year and a half away approximately of leveling the city. So everything is right on up front. And therefore the people are there, and Jeremiah tells them that they're looking for this. And he warns them, Zedekiah isn't going to do anything. But the people are given the warning again, and God warns and helps them, always giving the due warning of what's going to happen, so that you can't say, well, if you've just told us, well, I've been telling you for 39 years, he said. I've been telling you for a long time. Remember in the days of Noah, I told you, I gave you 120 years. So you never hear a complaint. You'll never hear a complaint at the great white throne judgment. There is no complaint from Cain all the way to the end of humanity in judgment. No one has a word to say. God is absolutely right in what he does. And all you can do is nothing. Now, so have that. Here's the way, the way of death and the way of life. And in the process, just to get that a little focus better, in the process now, it has been made known, over to chapter 9, Jeremiah and chapter 9. And you will note in chapter 9, picking up, if I can, chapter 9, and picking up in verse 20. Ye hear the word of the Lord, O ye women. Remember now, all of this is kept, this has been repeated year and now over to the people. They are given full information. Verse 20. Yet you hear the word of the Lord, all ye women. Let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentations. In other words, are you going to teach them how to have fun? No, you're going to teach them how to lament and repent. That's what you're going to do. You tell them you've got horrible days coming, learn how to cry, and learn how to mourn in sackcloth, as it were, in ashes. Now, verse 21. And death is come up unto the widows, and is entered into the palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Now it's death. What's coming? There's a way of death and a way of life. You've been telling them, the way of death, you don't want to go that way. I'm warning you, don't go that way, because there's going to be no escaping. When Nebuchadnezzar comes in, no one escapes. and there's nowhere to hide. And death will find you if you're hiding under the couch or down in the basement, etc. Now, and verse 22. Speak thus, saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. In other words, it's all going to fall on the ground. You're going to have bodies all over the place, and you can't bury them. You're just going to leave them. Like a big field of harvest, everything stays in the ground. Wow. Now, over to chapter 13. Now, God, you sent it to them if they'd hear it. Verse 15. 13:15. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken, to give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turneth it into the shadow of death and making it gross darkness. And we shared together when we did that. Think of going down a tunnel in Mount Dark Place, a mountain, and each time you go, you don't go turn around. You keep going into the darkness, and the deeper you go into the darkness, the darker the darkness gets, and it becomes gross darkness. It gets worse. There's no solution. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, on your way, a little differently, over to Proverbs. You can hold Proverbs chapter 14 for a moment. Proverbs in chapter 14. And you know, a statement that makes it real easy, simple, among other places. Chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way. Remember, there's a way of darkness, a way of life, a way of death, and a way of life, I should say, in Jeremiah chapter 21, 8. Now, there is a way which seemeth right. It seems the right way, seems the right thing to do, seems the right, what's wrong with it? Everyone else does it, and no one else seems to be saying anything. The prophets, the priests, the government, everyone, who's saying anything? No one's saying anything, so how can there be a problem? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and it doesn't come out. That's a simple, wonderful truth. People are doing all different things, and they aren't checking out what they're doing. And each time it goes further down and further down and further down, and you can go far enough that you can't see your way back again. You can go far enough and you don't want to get back again. You can't. Like Pharaoh's heart. You can't fix it. Too hard. Israel is at that place. Now, and having said that, so here, they have a choice. Everyone has a choice to make a choice. They have chosen. And in choosing what they have, their choice is going to, they keep doing it year after year until this point. And therefore, are they going to change? No. No, you'd say they could change. It's like people say, well, listen, I'll trust God when I'm on my deathbed and the doctor says you got 4 hours to live. I'll do it then. And you know the rule. That is rare, rare, and doubly rare. Because you've already said no all your life. To think you're going to say yes all of a sudden, never. No more than right now. If you have never said yes to some truth, and you haven't said it, and you haven't said it for how long, and you can't say it now either, if you tested it, you can't say yes to the truth you've been saying no to. It's part of us. It's in our system. And we have to see it. Israel isn't seeing it. Now, and therefore keeping that in mind, so there's the way of life, And God, the Israelites needed to choose it, and it's God's will. And what is God's will? To choose the way of death, the way of life and the way of death. Well, the way of death means you're going to stay in the city and die. The way of life means you aren't going to go to blessing or the kingdom or wonderful thing. No, you're going to surrender, unconditional surrender, to the fact that Israel is removed from an earthly testimony in just an hour, a year and a half or so from now. Going to be leveled. There'll be no more Israel as you know it. It'll be all finished till I come. Wow. That's hard. Choose that. Choose. I tell you to choose what you would never choose because it's horrible. It's otherwise, you stay in the city and die. Surrender. I have given up Israel to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar, in judgment, is going to level the city. Nebuchadnezzar is my instrument. And the best way for you to get along and make it is yield to what I am doing. Yield to what I am doing. Now, hang on to that little thought, and go over with me, please, to Romans and chapter 11. Romans in chapter 11. And you will note, please, remember 9, 10, and 11 about Israel. So when we come in the movement of the context and all of that, chapter 11 of Romans, may I go, please, to chapter 11 and in verse 11. I say then, have they, Jews, stumbled that they should fall? But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of Jerusalem and the Jew be the riches of the world, in other words, God is able to now, he's turning around in his grace and saying, whosoever will may come and get saved. That was not before like that. It is now. An open door for anyone, for what the Jews had, as would have had, will have again, as the most special people. God would do it for a whosoever in a marvelous way. Now that's something. If that, it took the fall of the Jew, Israel, to make that happen. To have that happen. It did. Now, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles. In other words, the Jews are shrunk down, and the Gentiles are raised up. How much more, when the Jews are put back into right in the right place, how much more shall the glory and fullness be of Israel? If when they go down, everything gets better, rich in his grace. What happens when they're right, they turn their heart to God as a nation, and God raises them up, and the whole, everything else raises to a whole nother level again. Wow. Now, would that have happened if Nebuchadnezzar didn't level Jerusalem? I don't want, it's a horrible thing to go and take, if the way of life is to go to the enemy and to yield unconditional surrender to them, and God said, that's the way. That's the way. God, you're doing something. I am. I'm disciplining Israel, and I'm reaching the world and judging the world. Therefore, Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew 24, you'll remember the judgment, tribulation, all of that. But picking up just the movement of that, chapter 24, may I go to verse 15. Now, if you were here in the tribulation, you say, well, the treaty made with the Antichrist and all of that. But then what? Then, whoa, you don't want to be around. But it is God's will to allow that. Hang on. It's God's will to allow that. chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, remember that's the image of the Antichrist in the temple in Jerusalem. And when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, a wallet, a lunch ticket, lunch or something. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Nope, just go quickly. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, that's verse 20. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So you're going to have to say, God, you just pray that when this happens, run fast. Run fast. That's right. Run fast. Now, why are we going to run fast? Because God, it's the way. Shouldn't we fight? Shouldn't we get protection? No. I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar level the city. I'm going to let the tribulation work itself out in all of its awesomeness. I'm going to let all of that happen. And therefore, I want you to understand, when I let it happen, and you're a Jew in Jerusalem, get out of there fast. Get out of there fast. As fast as you can. Wow. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And you will note, it's all about the Antichrist, etc. And sliding down, if I can, I'll read verse 4, just a little context. And they worshipped the dragon, the devil himself, who gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? They slide down to verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, all languages, tongues, and all nations, all tribes and everybody. And that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, God, what are you going to let happen? I'm going to let the Antichrist do a job on the believers. That's what I do. Oh, no! Yes, I'm going to let that happen. That's what I'm going to let happen. Now, you're in the tribulation as a believer, in Jewish people and Gentiles that are believers, and I'm going to let all of that happen. I am. Wow. That's horrible. It's the way of life. It's in my will, in my judgment, for my glory. I have a plan, a wonderful, wonderful plan, and this is part of the plan. Go with it. It's terrible. Go with it. Babylon, the meanest, cruel people. That's right. Go with it. It'll come out good. It'll work out. And by the way, don't worry. If they can kill you and all. We did a little bit to try to get you to relax with death. Death is an awesome thing. We had you had the guillotine or something in your head somewhere on Sunday or whatever. And the process. Do you understand? You can relax. That I'm trying to get you to understand. Relax. Do you understand that? It isn't an issue. Oh, well, Lord Jesus said it. Don't be, Matthew chapter 10, don't be worried about them that can what? Kill the body. That's this. Now, I don't mean to drift. If you hit your thumb right now, somehow your thumb gets whacked. Now, would that hurt if I hit you especially with a sledgehammer? I mean, that's going to do it. Would that hurt? Did it hurt you? No, it hurt your finger. You felt the hurt in your body. it never hurt you at all. If you had an operation and you lose part of your body, did that lose part of you? Never. Could you be a double amputee? Do you lose part of you? No. None of that affects you. You live in it. That's why it hurts. You know, when you're in the car and it runs out of gas, do you understand that? It won't go. You keep pumping the pedal and everything. It ain't going to go anywhere because there's no gas in it. It isn't no gas in you. It's no gas in the car. It isn't that you can't go. You can get out of the car and start walking. You're just in the body. You got to separate stuff. And our Lord said, be afraid of me. I have your body and your soul and your spirit. I have the whole, all of you. So you be afraid, you be concerned about your relationship to me and not to whether they can kill you or not. Now, in the light of that, God help us. Over to 2 Thessalonians. And you would recall, going on the negative and then the positive, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians, and picking up, if I may, starting in verse 9. Even him whose coming is work after the working of Satan, Antichrist, and beast and everything, even him whose coming is work after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that are perishing, dying, because they receive not the love of the truth. Why don't they want to know the truth? Because then they'd have to get saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong, they don't want to get saved. So God, you're going to allow the Antichrist to pull off his wonderful, amazing stuff and deceive the world. That's right. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, or the lie. That, verse 12, that they might be damned, judged, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God, are you going to let that happen? Yes, I am. That's what I'm going to let happen. No, but we'd like to pray better. But no, it isn't going to get better. Think if you have to, so you can relax and look to God. You aren't going to, all you can do is look for God's outworking in your personal life. That you can have. You aren't going to fix the governments of the world. They're all on course. Now, in the light of that, over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, what were they doing? What was the Thessalonians doing? They got saved wonderfully. And then chapter 1, verse 9, and for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son out of the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Which is coming up, but we aren't going to do that. So there's a Jeremiah 21 and 8. There's a way of death and a way of life. And we're looking at it. That's history. All of history is working itself out in a most wonderful way. And God, you allowed all this. That's right. And I told you to roll with it. Don't fight it. You aren't going to stop. When people don't believe, they aren't going to believe, and they aren't going to believe. You know the Corinthians, let the ignorant be what? Be ignorant. You aren't going to fight everybody. They believe or choose whatever you want to do. That's what people do. They choose. They have to make choices. You make good choices, it keeps going. Make bad choices, it keeps going the wrong way. Make bad choices long enough, you don't make good choices. Now, so here's Thessalonians, And they're looking, waiting for the Lord from heaven. So no matter what the condition, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, economically, wouldn't make any difference. We're waiting for what? The Son out of heaven. We're waiting for the Lord's return. And that's our hope. We have a wonderful hope. Looking at back in Jeremiah, they have no hope from their point of view. They're going into captivity and going to be marched as captives to Babylon. That doesn't sound very good at all, and it isn't from a human standpoint, but that has to be. And where's their hope? And they're even going to say it. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 136 in that. How can we sing the Lord's song when we're going to be captives? And they wanted him to sing one of those Jewish wonderful songs that are full of hope and full of courage. They said, how can we sing going in this direction? No. But that's history. But we're in a whole different place. We are. We absolutely are. Now, and so I don't forget. Now, here's the two ways, the way of life and the way of death. And God tells them to choose and make a choice and make a good one. Choose my will, my judgment. Babylon, choose Nebuchadnezzar. Go against the priests, the prophet, the people, the princes, leaders. Go against them and vote for God. That's what to do. Vote for God. Now, having said that, voting for God. Now, looking. So, God, here we are. And what are we doing? Well, our prospect, looking ahead. What are we looking at? Death, it's there. Pain, suffering, heartache, headache, it's all there. All of those things are there for personal and the world. They're all there. But that isn't what we're motivated by. That isn't what we're different. God, you've given us a wonderful, wonderful hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, as you know, just picking up a verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and allow me to go in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that have died and gone to be with the Lord, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You aren't like that. No, you aren't like them. Don't be like them. You don't have to copy them. Don't follow what they do. And don't say you can't feel like that. Yes, you better be of hope. You're different. You're saved. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And it's going to be his plan if you stay with him, and you're going to enjoy the plan. Otherwise, the plan is still there, but you don't enjoy it and don't experience it. Now, so here we are, and sliding down if I can, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and on planet earth, the rapture, and remain, shall be caught up, raptured, strong, violent, forceful, caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So you're all excited about leaving. That's right. Even when we're here, we plan everything and do everything, and we have to do it, and we have to watch what? Philippians 4, 6, worry. We tend to worry. Philippians 4, 6, don't worry. Command, present tense, stop worrying. That's what you're going to tend to do. Because that's what it is. Look at the future. And we're humans. We're born and we're in a body that is deteriorating, dying. And God has given us a wonderful life and in the person of Jesus Christ, but we're dying. And everything else is the same. Same car, same kitchen sink, the same refrigerator, the same everything. It's just you're different. You're a different person than you open the refrigerator. Wow. Whole new life. That's right. Now, hang on to that. God, that's what you want for us. Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. That's what I'm looking for. And you should be very much encouraged. Now, over, please, in your, if you would, over to Romans chapter 8 again. And just reminding yourself, God. Romans chapter 8, and God tells us the same wonderful truth that Jeremiah had a different view of it, a wonderful view from his perspective, but the people in Jerusalem didn't have that much vision. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, as you know, in verse 18. For I reckon, I calculate, to compute, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed somewhere. Oh. What happens if I take those two words off? I just erase them. What would you do? The glory in us. Us. Hang on. Now, so here we are looking and sliding over if I can to verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit of God, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, which is the redemption of our body. Yep, we're still in this body, but God, we can't get rid of the problems until you take us to be with you, and we're to be looking to you for at any moment. You'll take us imminently and wonderfully to be with you in your wonderful person and change us in a twinkling of an eye, and you're going to do that. Uh-huh, I am. And I want you to know we're waiting for that. So everything's what it is. It's going to go the course it's going on. That's right. Isn't going to change. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that's a wonderful thing, and you keep going so you connect it all, at least in your mind. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed, to be marked out to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God, what are we doing? We're looking to you, and all things are working together for good. We're waiting for your imminent return. And God, you're our present Christ in us. You're our hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we're looking to you. What are we going to look for? We're looking to you, to be like you. That's what we're going to be. What are you busy doing? You're busy saving us to glorify and honor your Son. And I'm going to take you, when I'm finished on planet Earth, I'm going to take you and make you fully like my Son. Fully, completely, wonderfully like my Son. So that our Lord Jesus will say, like in Matthew 12, brother, sister, mother, you are my family. How's that? That's what I'm going to say. So God, yeah, I got it. A little bit. Jeremiah, you're telling the people in that city, at Jerusalem, it's dark day and it's just awful dark, and things look like they're going up, but don't trust them, No. God, you have to let it all work out. That's right. And without getting off into that subject. When they say peace and safety, what? Be on your toes. When they say peace and safety, we're looking for peace, aren't we? We're looking for it. Ah, beware when you hear it. Be on your toes, because that's how it's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to come in what? And bring by power peace. And that's what we need to see. Now, hang on. Now, so here, over in Romans, all things work together for good, and sliding over if I can, just to get the flavor of it again, it's so awesomely good. Sliding down, wherever we want to go, sliding down, verse 31, what shall we do? What shall we then say if these things be to all of this? If God be for us, who can be against us? And sliding down if I can, verse 34, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, stop a sec. Jeremiah 21:8, a way of death and a way of life. Now I'm going to move to where we are. God, you didn't tell us that. No, I didn't. I told you there's only one way. They had their choice. I'm telling you there's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone, right and wrong, good and bad, are going to answer to me. I am the way of death. And if you're smart enough to say, that's awful, I have to, God, you're going to reckon me dead under sin, and I don't have to think about that. God, I'm alive and well, and I'm thinking and doing and feeling and coming and going. God, do you want me to what? Consider the way of death in order that I might have the way of life. Right? What does the cross do? It crucifies you. Doesn't it? God, are you talking about us living? No, I'm trying to tell you, understand. Jeremiah had an awesome message, and the people had an awesome responsibility to make a choice. I've come, and I'm giving you. I am the death. That's why the cross, I had to die for the sin of the world. And that's judgment, like Babylon, Israel. That's right. I'm judging for the sin of the world. Now, don't back off from that. You say, oh, that's awful. I got to recognize that I need a Savior, that I'm not able to have 1 pound of right, 1 ounce of righteousness in me. And I have to go, God, and look to you. That's an awesome choice. God said, make it. Make the choice. You know, John 5:24. If we believe, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life. And shall not come unto death, but is passed from death to life the moment you believe. That's all. I told you to come. That's how it works. Oh, no. No, that's why people don't do it. They don't do it. They don't understand. It's the way. It's the only way. God said, I'm the only way. I've been trying to get everyone in history to Genesis 3:15, promise I gave them. Wow, if they just know it. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, sliding down now, if I can, to catch it. The way of death, the way of life. Now, if you got a little bit of it, then Romans chapter 8 may pick up to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? Persecution. Famine? Nakedness. Peril? Danger. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. No. Yes. 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 You have to reckon that. Reckon yourself dead. I told you. But that's an awesome thing. Why can't I use my talents and my education and my gifts or whatever I got? No, it isn't about that. It isn't about that. It's about your relationship to me. And I want you to know that you're going to be counted as sheep to the slaughter. Is the world, remember Jeremiah? The city? Who thinks like Jeremiah? Who even cares about Jeremiah besides killing him? The whole state, the whole Palestine. God, what are you saying? Do you understand? I'm calling out a people for my name's sake. Do you hear me? Whosoever hath an ear to hear, let him hear what I'm saying. And come. Oh, death. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the only way. Wow. Now, having said that, therefore, how are we going to consider it? Well, That's nay, and we're supposed to understand that in the death, we're supposed to discover the wonderful life. And if you went to Babylon back in the days of Jeremiah, you would spend 70 years, assuming you lived that long, and you'd go back under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, you'd go back to Jerusalem after 70 years. So God, that's what would have happened if you just did that. But, God, we don't say that, no. At the same time you reckon yourself dead, I want you to know you're more than a conqueror through me that loved you. You're a winner. All they can do is take your body. All they can do is swear at you and kick you in the teeth. That's all. That's all. Wow. Therefore, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither, whoops, there it is, death, nor life, no, not even that, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there's nothing going to separate you. Do you understand? Death itself. That's what I told you. I tried to tell you. Don't worry about death. Don't get caught up. People are caught up in all kinds of things. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. Wow. So, God, you did a wonderful thing for us, and we thank you for it, God. And we have to understand that you have taken and you're showing us the way of life by the way of death. The way of life by the way of death. It's your death. And we need to go there. We don't need to shun it and say it's awful to be able to say, ultimately, if we learn it well, in me dwelleth no good thing. It isn't about me. It isn't about the flesh. No flesh shall glory in your presence. That's pretty clear. But we keep trying to have our flesh glory. But it isn't going to glory. No, it isn't going to. I'm not going to accept it. So you can do it. You can spend 10 years of your life doing what you want to do. And I'm waiting. If you want to honor me, honor me. Honor me. Or keep choosing the wrong direction people do. Now, so looking, God, here we are. And we thank you very, very much for who you are and what you're doing. So, God, the way of death and the way of life. In order, as the earth turns. Uh-huh. And we're on this ball spinning around, you know. And God, you're showing, what are we showing? We're showing over to 2 Corinthians for a moment in closing. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. What are we looking for? We choose death and life and God's will. That's what we choose. Jeremiah, what are you guys going to choose? Jeremiah wants to know what they're going to choose. Well, are they going to choose either way of life or death, Babylon or being slaughtered in Jerusalem? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, picking up, please. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all about you, God. That's right, your wonderful grace. And we're as lambs as to the slaughter. And it isn't a question of our comfort and everything. It's a question of us honoring you. And you are working your wonderful grace in our life. And therefore, in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death. That's right. Lambs for the slaughter. We didn't like that. Well, that's the way it is. You have to die. You want me to live? You have to die. That's the way it is. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, where? In our mortal body. Verse 12, so then death is working in us, but life in you. and we die to self so God, you can live and outlive your wonderful life in your wonderful way, eating and drinking to your honor and glory with thanksgiving in our heart, thanking God we're able to be your children, your sons, and to live as such, belonging to you. Wow.